I want to invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. We're going to quote Psalm 119, verse 105, that this we just sung it. Brother Roland led us in this song about God's Word. Also, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. The theme verse of this series of messages is Psalm 119, 105. Please quote it with me. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Also in 2 Peter chapter 1, the scripture passage for this morning, beginning in verse 16 of 2 Peter chapter 1. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we were made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Let us pray. Lord, again we thank You for Your precious Word. Lord, we thank You for the sure word, Your word that we have to study and to apply to our hearts and lives. And we also thank You for the warnings that we ought to take heed and be very watchful and prayerful, Lord, each day. God, help us to guard against false teaching. But Lord, help us as Your people to fully trust and believe what Your Word says, Lord, in such a way that we actually want to and live by it, Lord. And Lord, may it all be for Your glory, I ask. And I ask that You'll please speak through me. Lord God, I'm nothing without You. May the sheep be fed this morning. May the lost, Lord, be wooed by Your Holy Spirit. May the backslider, Lord, be convicted and rebuked only by Your Word. God, may we all draw nigh to You today, this hour, as we publicly worship You as a church family, for the praise and glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The trustworthy Word of God is what we are looking at this morning. And this passage of Scripture in 2 Peter tells us that the gospel message is confirmed by God the Father. He said, as it says there in verse 17 of chapter 1, God the Father, at the baptism of Jesus, said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye Him." At the Mount of Transfiguration, He said to the three disciples, He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So we are, His gospel message has been confirmed by God the Father. Confirmed. He said, "This is my Son." There are This is my beloved Son. There are none other avenues of salvation. There are no other redeemers. He is the high priest that actually was the sacrifice for our sins. So it's been confirmed by God the Father. This is Him. There's none other. And the gospel message that He, this beloved Son, came and lived among us. He lived without sin. He died on a cross as the sacrifice for you and I. He was buried, but praise God, He rose again. He ascended on high. He is our mediator between God and man, and He's coming back. It's a sure word of prophecy. Jesus is coming back. So we ought to be in His Word. But this message has been confirmed by God the Father. Also, we see in this passage of Scripture that Scripture is not from private interpretation or origin. Someone didn't make this up. Holy men that God breathed the Word through and they wrote it down as they were led by the Holy Spirit of God. From Genesis to Revelation. There are no contradictions. It is all in unity that God wrote through men. Sometimes even in Southern Baptist life, we have to say again, this is God's Word. There are no errors. None. I believe the map's in the back too. But sometimes people will say, oh, that's a preacher fight. What are those preachers fighting about now? Folks, the Word of God is true. It is God's Word. It is inspired. And any preacher that says there's error in it, oh, that ain't what it means, error or that, then don't believe them. It is something to stand on. It is something to preach. It is something to teach. It is something to live by. And that's something that is a hill to die on, if we must. It was inspired by God, and it did not come from private interpretation. And if it did not come from private interpretation or origin, then it don't matter what your little private interpretation says. It is what God says. We have enough of private interpretations. We need to know what God says and teach and preach what God said. If it didn't come from private interpretation, then it ought to be what the priesthood of believers believe. It ought to be the apostles' doctrine. It ought to be what's found in God's Word. So it did not come from privacy, but it came as men were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. Also, we see in this passage of Scripture, the old and new covenant is from the one true and living God. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God. They wrote down what God spoke to them. So it came from God. The Old Testament shows us that how depraved we are. We are depraved. We are helpless. We are hopeless. We are all sinners. There's none righteous. No, not one. Not one. And we're depraved and we need a Redeemer. We need to live by faith in Him. In the New Covenant, the New Testament tells us about the Redeemer, how He lived among us and gave His life for us. And He's coming back. It's inspired and it came from the one true and living God.
Teaching about false teaching.
comparison. Number one, false teaching is destructive. The Word of God builds. Here in our passage of Scripture in chapter 2, in all three verses, it describes how destructive false teaching is. You see, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, Jesus said about the Pharisees and their teaching. It just takes a little bit, and it builds and it grows. It's like a cancer that grows. The more false teaching is allowed, the more it grows, and it's destructive. Why is it destructive? Because you cannot build your life upon false teaching. You must build your life upon God's Word. God's Word builds and it edifies each other. It tells us to edify. False teaching is destructive. It'll tear down. It's not based on the words of life. God's Word, though, builds. It builds. Truth builds. Sometimes truth hurts, but it builds. Truth will not destroy. Secondly, false teaching denies Jesus. They may believe in Jesus. They may call Him a good teacher, a good prophet, words to live by, but He is not the Redeemer. False teaching denies the Lordship of Jesus, which calls Jesus Lord means Master of all. He is our Master of our lives. False teaching will deny Jesus as your Master. It denies Jesus. False teaching denies Jesus in such a way that there's some other way of righteousness, which is called humanism, that mankind is inherently good and will work it out. No, we are depraved. We need a Redeemer. By His grace, we're saved. False teaching denies who Jesus is. The trustworthy Word of God exalts Jesus because it's about Him. That's what it's about. It's about receiving Christ. It's about living for Christ. What the Word of God is about. It's about the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Thirdly, false teaching will have many. Trustworthy Word of God just has a few. You see, false teaching is a broad way. It doesn't matter what you believe, they'll say, as long as you are sincere. You know, you can have a lot of people believe that, can't you? A lot of people. But the Word of God says there's only a straight way. There's a narrow gate, and few will enter in. Few will believe God's Word. Few. Fourthly, false teaching blasphemes the truth versus truth manifested. Let's read verses 1 through 3 again. It says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." So the truth is blasphemed with false teaching. We have stood with the Word of God while other denominations now have homosexuals in the pulpits. We stood for the family. Oh, that was a preacher fight. No, it wasn't. We have stood for the family. while other denominations are anti-family. You see, false teaching blasphemes the truth. False teaching will say, you have no right to judge. I can live any way I want to. No, you ought to live how God's Word says you ought to. You see? But the truth is blasphemed. We ought to be committed and devoted to our families and to our church and live for the Lord and serve Him. But false teaching will lead you away from that. False teaching will lead you away from even studying God's Word. Or being, you know, people can't sit in a worship service like this under preaching like this. Did y'all know that? Why? Because the truth is blasphemed. They have other avenues, apparently, that will lead them astray. Matter of fact, look in verse 16 of chapter 1. It says, speaking of Scripture, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we were made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, false teaching is based on fables. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. That's left from 2 Peter if you're looking. Listen to what Paul is writing to Timothy. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers that will tell them how good they are, or their opinions trumps the Word of God, or what they think really matters and not what God's Word actually says. But listen, in verse 4, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. It's a sad day in the church where people will fight you over their fable instead of standing on the Word of God. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, which is based, the church is based upon the Word of God, not on fables. We're based on truth, not on fables. It's not a fable. Jesus is coming back. That's no fable. That is truth. False teaching blasphemes the truth. Even turn aside the fables. But truth is manifested with God's Word. Remember our passage last Sunday? If our gospel be hid, it is hidden by the God of this world who has blinded their eyes. Blinded. But the truth is manifested by God's Word. We share the truth. We don't hide who we are. We are Christians. We are little Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Don't hide that. You cannot hide a candle. You cannot put it under a bushel, but it ought to shine and shine towards a dark community that needs Jesus. It's manifested. We want all to come to the way and to the truth and to the life. His name is Jesus. That's what we want. But you know what? It's hard to want that if you don't have it to start with. It's hard to love others if you don't even love yourself. Did y'all know that? It's hard to share the gospel message if you don't have it yourself. See, truth is blasphemed with false teaching. But with God's Word, truth is manifested. Number 5. Exploitation versus love, sacrifice, and service. Exploitation, you know, false teaching, fables, and all the stuff that false teaching comes with cannot save you. It'll exploit you. Make merchandise, one translation says. Makes merchandise of you because it's based on covetousness. It's based on what you get out of it. That's the opposite of what Christ says. If it is based on what you get out of it, then it's based on false teaching. You see, we give our hearts and lives to Christ because He loved us. Now we love Him. And that is based on love and sacrifice and service. Some will tell you to sow a seed of money. If you give $10, God will bless you tenfold. I've been tithing for years. I have never, me or my family, has ever been without food. We had to live with her parents for a month one time. Had to live with my parents, 2 weeks. We had food. He doesn't promise tenfold with your money. But I do promise you this. He promises that He will bless you. Do you want God's blessings or man's blessings? Which one do you want? Out of covetousness, come join the church and it'll help you in your job, it'll help you in your business. You'll, et cetera, et cetera. You'll get this and get that because you're seen at church. Come here to worship. Come here to worship. Not what you get out of it. Come here to serve. Not what you get out of it. Come here to love one another. Not what you get out of it. See, false teaching will exploit you. Well, they didn't thank me. So I'm quitting. That's false teaching. It holds you in bondage, false teaching will, with a bunch of do's and don'ts. But Christ came to set us free. We have God, the Holy Spirit, within us that tells us what is right and wrong. He illuminates the Scriptures to us, the very principles of God's Word. Don't hold us in bondage. We're free. Free. You see, we love because Jesus first loved us. We sacrifice because He first gave Himself as a sacrifice. Now we are living sacrifices. We serve. Our Redeemer came as an example. And He came and served. An ultimate example is when He washed the disciples' feet the night before His crucifixion. He served. That's truth. The world don't like that. Some of you may not. That's what the Word of God teaches. So I have a question for you. What are you going to believe? And what are you going to live by? You're going to live by false teaching? Are you going to die in your sins and die on that hill? Or are you going to believe God's Word and trust Christ and live for Him? You have a choice. False teaching, worldliness, what the world teaches, or are you going to give yourself to Christ? What are you going to do? Let us pray. God, how awesome it is to be able to have your word, to study your word, to read your word. God, I know these people, we don't have to have some major leader to tell us your word. We have you to illuminate the scriptures. We have your word. Oh God, if this church would just get in your word and believe it. Oh, how we could reach people for you. How selfless we would actually become. Lord, as the many centuries have passed, people have come to times where they had to decide whether to go with you or to remain where they're at. This is one of those times right now for these people. We need your help and we need your grace at this time. Amen.